Jeff, Karen, Kat, are you ready for this
one? UCR.
Go.
We say it what we want, give it to you non-stop. And it's late anytime, not afraid to speak our mind. That's just the way we roll, we never gonna settle. Unstoppable, original, uncensored radio.
Everybody, and welcome to Uncensored Radio. We are your guiltiest pleasure, and we are back live after an extra long overdue holiday. We have been doing the retro week for about 10 weeks now. No, 3 weeks, but it was overdue. We needed a break. You know who we are. We are the team, the dream team. I've got Jeffrey Emmett in the house. How are you, Jeffrey?
I am fabulous, a little nervous. I had a little anxiety.
Ooh,
it's been a while.
Did you get out of practice?
I am totally out of practice. I forgot the number to call in. It was ridiculous.
Damn shame. Damn shame.
Yeah.
And we also got Davey, who did remember the number to call in, and who has been graciously producing and managing this show while we've all been all over the world, and Jamesy, how are you?
I'm good.
Good. Awesome.
I'm great.
Well, and I'm Karen Ashley, and I'm in the middle of my world tour, Power Ranger World Tour, that is.
Which I'm so sad that I'm missing so much of it. I'm so sad because I love meeting all the fans and the people that love our radio show, and just your fans are always so sweet and have great stories and how the Power Rangers changed their life, which is interesting. But, you know, it's always fun to meet them, so I'm kind of bummed. But I'm looking forward to Atlanta.
I know. I went to Houston Space City Con about 2 weeks ago, and I am going to New Orleans this Thursday. I will be flying out to New Orleans, and I've got the beignets already getting baked. We've got them already getting dusted with powdered sugar. It's going to be a debacle. I just want some jambalaya and a beignet on the side. And then I'm meeting Jeffrey, Mr. Jeffrey Emmett. I'm meeting you and Topher. First time for me and you to meet Topher in person. We've known Topher over a year. He hosts No Rules, Just Mics, but he is going to be in Atlanta next week. And we're going to meet each other and hang out and hopefully just eat Southern food and laugh and talk and catch up and the whole shebang. It should be very interesting, very fun.
Yeah, and I'm going to be all bougie and drink your mini bar. I'm sorry.
and you're going to get kicked the fuck out. You know, it's like $80 for like a bottled water.
Girl, you was on the Power Rangers. You got this. We'll be
right. Dude, do you know who I work for? Saban Entertainment. And you've heard it's all true. Cheapskate.
Yes, I know the rumors.
We were one step away from poverty when we left that show, let me tell you.
That's a
but
true
you know
story
what? I do want to send a shout out to all my fans and friends and homies and everybody I met in Houston at Space City Con because they were lovely. I want to send a shout out to all the people that worked at the convention. Everybody was working really hard. It was an amazing convention, and I had a great time. Like, I'm from Texas, so you know that was like my kind of place. And you know, I got to see some friends that lived in Texas and some family, and it was just a great time. And I was there, Captain Sutherland was there, you know, Polly, Jason Narvi, they were being crazy as always. Steve was there and he was running around in this red Power Ranger suit the whole day. One of the days. You would have loved it, guys. It was spandex and tight fit.
Oh no, I saw the photo. And frankly, I was kind of concerned that I missed it because I would have been ragging on him the whole time because I saw a little peen action going on Mr. Cardenas. And after being choked by him playfully, I have to say, I was mildly impressed.
Oh, wow. Well, I'll have to tell him. You know, he's wearing that suit again, and I think he's going to New Orleans. He won't be in Atlanta. Sorry.
Of course.
But I will be in Atlanta with Jason Frank and with Walter Jones. So it should be fun, fun, fun.
Hey.
Hey. But, yeah, he had the tight fit, right fit on. He had the red one on one day. He had the blue one on the next day. It was like blast from the past, old memories thrown in my face with that spandex of bodily man.
Now, how many people came up to you and asked why you weren't wearing your costume?
I think they kind of knew. Like, we just weren't doing that. Like, nobody else had their costume on, only Steve. And everybody else was just chilling, you know. But luckily, he did it for the team. He took one for the team and, like, represented, you know. It was great. I took a picture.
And I'm sure he has a bigger gay following now, thanks to the peen. I can't wait until
he
comes back on the show. Because I'm going to talk to him about this. I know he's just getting back from Hawaii. So we're going to get him back on the show, and we're going to have a little conversation about his little happy friend.
Yeah, and I was very upset because, of course, he had the nerve to text me from Hawaii, and I was like, oh, you didn't have to tell nobody that you were going on a vacation. Like, I think this is his second vacation in only months. Like, I remember talking to him about a vacation in, like, the mountains or something, and I was like, oh, your pictures are great. Like, we talked about this.
Yeah.
So
yeah, yeah.
He owns his own karate school, so maybe we're in the wrong business.
Girl, I know. That's what I'm saying. Maybe you and I need to go open a karate school. Obviously, I'm not going to do none of the karate, but I'll answer the phone.
I'll work the front desk. I'll be the welcome crew.
I'll be the welcome one.
I'll get Power Rangers to come teach.
It'll be a good time. So,
Girl,
I have to tell you, while we've been gone, I've had some crazy things happen in my life, from people getting beat down that deserved it, holla, to crazy plane rides. Oh, yes. But the worst thing I have to tell you is the hell with you and your plane rides, boo. You can take the plane and you can ride that bitch all the way home, because it's not going to happen for me anytime soon, because my aunt came up from Arizona for a little visit. And the plane started going down. Like, it was a horrible experience. It was all turbulence. And then the plane just started dropping. Not, like, flat dropping, like, nose first, diving. Like, plane was going down type shit. And
Did
I love the fact that she's... What?
Did she ride the plane home?
Not very willingly.
Okay, because I would say it couldn't have been too bad. She got back on a plane.
Oh, no, none of them wanted to. Like, they were seriously considering taking the train.
Wow.
And, like, there was a lot of Xanax involved.
Well, sounds like a party.
Yeah, girl, I'm like, oh, she's like, all I could think about was that you would have had a heart attack. I'm like, I'm glad that you were about to die, and I ran through your mind. That makes me feel special.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah,
it's horrible.
That would be my last thought.
It truly does. Like, the fact that you're, like, on death's door and you're thinking about me, just, you know, I know I'm
That's
one in
like
a million.
That's, special. Yeah. Like, I can say right now, you would not be in my mind. You would not be in my thoughts.
And there's
five,
a reason why
like
I want
to
tear your brains out.
5 to 18 other people that are ahead of you. I'm sorry, Jeff. I'm sorry.
Okay, I'm taking that wedding present back. Just saying.
Oh, damn it. There goes that potted plant. There's all that poster I've been wanting.
No. I can't even handle it. I was like, oh, Lord, have mercy, Jesus, on my soul. Like,
nope.
That would have been it. It would have
been
a problem because, girl,
if that
would have happened to me on the way to LA, I'm sorry, but I'd have been moving in.
I would have been so mad that you were on your way or you were coming to L.A. if that would have happened. And I would have been like, man, he ain't going to be here to, like, help me with my wedding. That would have been so bad.
No, well, if I would have lived, I would have been like, I'm staying on your couch until I can find a job and get money to get a house because I'm not
out of my place.
Going home. Yeah, girl. No, I would have just sold some drugs. I'd open up a weed shop or something. I don't know.
Oh, you'd be rich. Shit.
I couldn't do it.
Like, balling out of control.
Like poor Joe would have had a broken leg from me like smashing him. It would not have been cute. Like I would have just been screaming at the top of my lungs, bloody murder. I probably would have freaked out and been like, had the TSA take me out because, yeah, it would not, no.
I think everybody would be freaking out on that plane. Like, that
well, they said everybody.
We can make jokes, but thank God that they made it safely, and they obviously made it home safely, thank God.
Yes, thank God, because that would have been real traumatic. Like, one funeral was enough. I didn't need two.
Nope.
I don't own that much black. I'm just saying.
You always have funerals to go to. That's not a good look.
I know. What is that? Well, that happens when you have a huge kidney family and a huge, like, other extended family, and people just, you know, they're old as shit, you know?
No, and I just heard, what's the TV show? The TV show, Rizzoli, what is it called? Isles?
Rizzoli and
yeah,
Isles.
Something.
The young actor died on that show. I didn't even get to read what had happened, but
he
that makes
committed
me really sad.
Suicide with
what?
A gunshot wound. It was self-inflicted. Yeah, it's
what?
Really sad. Yeah.
Oh my God! Like, how is that possible? Like, he's young. He's making money. Like, he's doing a lot of stuff. Are you serious? Like, he killed himself?
Yeah. Like, I can't personally understand it because, like, dude, you're a regular. On a TV show, you're making bank. What are you doing with your life? Because, frankly, I mean, I could have maybe comprehended it a little better if it would have happened after the show ended and he was out of money. But, like, dude, you got Dell coming in. What are you doing?
Yeah, steady gig. Everybody needs a steady gig. Was he depressed?
But you got things to live for.
Hell yeah.
I never understand it. Can't understand.
You know,
can't
crazy?
Even comprehend it.
It just goes to show you really don't know what's going on behind closed doors with people. Like, on the outside looking in, things look so great. You obviously think this guy's in a great position. And then he kills himself. Like, what is that about? Like, the girl who was on The Bachelor, like, she's dating a basketball player. Oh, well, he treated you bad. And then she kills herself. Like, that's crazy. I'm sorry. Everybody's had a broken heart. Everybody's been treated badly. We've all had bad dates, bad boyfriends, bad everything. I know I have friends that have had bad husbands or wives. But there ain't no reason to die. Like, I ain't trying to die over that. I love my man to death, and we're getting married, and I'm telling you right now, if it just didn't work out, I ain't killing myself.
I don't understand it. Like, there was reports, you know, because this kid was a Disney star. Like, I had no idea what the show was, never even heard of it. But, you know, there seems to be a common thing with, like, Disney stars and Nickelodeon stars. A lot of them have problems. Especially
yeah, yeah.
When,
no, he's been
you know,
in the industry forever, that kid. Well, he's not
right,
a kid.
Like,
he's 29
like
years old.
Your show that you were on, and you know, you guys were all a little bit older, where these kids started young, like with Katrina, who's not here tonight, being on all that, and Amanda Bynes, that whole saga, and this girl, finally
Ooh.
Somebody put her in a 5150, or what is it, 5150 or 5051, whatever. They put that bitch on a crazy hold, and now they talk about she's a bisexual. So apparently this girl likes her a little cooler.
Yeah, there's true signs of schizophrenia. So
I'm
actually happy that they got her and they diagnosed her, because she was running amok. And we knew, like, everybody assumed it was drugs, but it wasn't. It was mental illness, you know?
Well,
and maybe she's drinking or whatever. I don't know.
There are studies that link smoking the marijuana to mental illness. I mean, you know, everybody, I have a lot of friends that are very big on baking. And they, you know, are constantly posting, big cock, all of the good things marijuana does. But it's funny that everybody kind of negates the bad things that can happen from THC. So I'm just saying, like, it could have been a little, she just could have smoked herself stupid and, you know, developed a little schizophrenia. Because if you look at her, you know, 5-6 years ago, like, she was on The View, she wasn't in the party scene, she had her life together, but her career kind of nosedived a little bit. And
they say, though,
crazy.
That's kind of the age. Yeah, the age that she's at is kind of the age. Like, it's like almost like you said, her career kind of died in a sense. Or, you know, she stopped getting work. And, you know, that sometimes that triggers depression, that triggers something that has been laying dormant, you know. I feel like she's probably always had some sort of mental illness, but it gets worse, they say, at that age range. Like in the 20s, you know, it could get worse, and it kind of, you know.
Well, and schizophrenia to me is fascinating. I worked at a place where I took care of some individuals, and one of them was schizophrenic. And it was so fascinating to me, like what I wouldn't give for 5 minutes in their head.
Mm-mm.
Because, you know, this chick could have wrote soap operas. I mean, it was kind of fantastic, you know, and I had never worked with anybody. Like, I didn't even know people that had disabilities, you know. Like, I went to private school. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it was just not something we saw. So I started working there. They were like, well, just try to get, you know, them out of it playfully or whatever. So the first day I'm working there alone, and this chick's like, you son of a bitch. You son of a bitch. I'm going to call the cops. I'm going to call the cops. You son of a bitch. So I went over and handed that girl the phone. And she said, what's this for?
Right,
like, I said, you said you was going to call the police. She's like, you're so silly. My girl,
Oh, wow. Yeah, see, no, I don't want any part of that. Like, I don't want to know what that feels like. Not at all. It's not fascinating to me.
I do.
Heck no. No, no, no. I got enough problems. I got enough thoughts in my head. I don't need no voices. I don't need no imaginary people there. Shit, I'm already scared of the dark.
Yeah, you are a little ridiculous.
Yeah. I'm like the worst person. Like, I don't watch scary movies. I don't like to sleep alone. I'm like, I'm perfect. I'm the perfect person for my man because it's like, I was meant to have somebody in my life to help me through the day to day. I was meant to have that. I'm scared of the dark. Like, I don't even want to be alone. So, hell, I don't want no voices in my head. That's for damn sure.
It was kind of great when we were talking about Atlanta and you're like, you could stay in my room. I don't.
Yeah, I'm cool. I can have a roommate. I can't have like 8 roommates, but I can have 1. You might get on my nerves, but I can deal with you for a couple days.
Oh, thank you. You're so sweet.
Yeah,
anytime.
Well, I
didn't
know
you're
going to get there early enough to check me in because, you know, I get bougie when you're in town.
Probably
I want you to take full and complete care of me, huh?
Probably not,
what?
As I'm driving 14
what?
Hours.
What?
Yeah.
You're upsetting me. You're really
I did.
Upsetting.
Okay. I wasn't going
to
tell you,
what
but I did actually.
What are you leaving is what I need to know.
What day do we have to be there? That's what I need to know.
I'm getting there on Thursday.
Oh, yeah. I probably won't be there till Friday morning.
Oh, my God. This is already. James, you interested in replacing this guy?
Oh. I can't even afford it. So, like, no.
Damn it.
I had to cancel going with you to New Orleans because
I know.
Can't afford it right
now. And my heart is broken. That was going to be a fun one. But
see,
you know what I said? There's so many
here.
Other conventions. I got booked on another convention in November in L.A., so you guys have an excuse to come to L.A.
Sorry,
well,
can't know
it. I thought Jeffrey was going to jump through the computer and kick my ass when I sent that email that I wasn't going to be able to go. So
it crossed
my
mind.
He was very upset with you.
I'm not going to lie.
He was very upset with you. He was like, Jeffrey. Like, it was like, ooh, wow. I didn't know he had that kind of bass in the computer voice. I could feel the tension just in his reply. But it's okay. There's some more conventions. It's not like I'm going to stop being a Power Ranger. I mean, that's part of my history. It's just what it is. They keep inviting us to stuff. I'm already booked for Lexington for next year. I'm already getting booked on all the conventions I'm doing this year. I'll probably come back to those next year. So it's like, it's going to be a busy season again, you know. And I kind of set out of things this summer, but I'm going to do a bunch of stuff next summer. So it'll be fine. And you're coming to L.A. in March for my wedding. So, hello. Just plan for that. And L.A. is probably going to be a lot more fun than New Orleans. New Orleans is kind of, there's about 3 streets that are really cool, and then it's over with. I'm just saying. I'm being serious. Unless you live there, you don't really, like, venture out. You know, and they haven't really finished fixing New Orleans. So it's very sad in certain places. It's really sad. When you think Katrina was a million years ago, and it's still devastated. Like, it's just a sad place. But Bourbon Street, obviously, is really cool, and, you know, whatever. But, yeah, you're coming to L.A., right, James? And for March?
Yes.
Okay.
I will be there.
We got it. We got it on air. We got it written verbal confirmation. And we'll probably have, like, I'm telling you right now.
I don't
know
about you, but I'm
everybody. What are you doing? You're singing? You're singing at my wedding?
Yeah, I don't know. Didn't we plan that like 6 weeks ago? Like,
ooh, I got to get you in touch with the head of entertainment, which is my fiance. He's like has like a live band that's going to be there. And he's like doing like you know his family is you know he's from a musical family. Like his little nephew, who's like 2 years old, knows how to play the drums like better than all of us. Like, you know, his niece sings, his other nephew plays, his
I'm
dad
kidding,
was a drummer
way.
For
I'm,
The Temptations.
I don't want to sing.
No, you can be added to the lineup because we have singers that are, like, professional singers that are, I know are singing that night. Like, it's like people are flying in. Just
and they
like,
and they
his group is going
to
be reunited.
Yeah,
my group crush is going to be in the house. We may perform. I don't even know. It's going to be crazy.
Oh
yeah, no, seriously.
Yeah,
like,
I'm good, y'all. I'll just go with a gift, and I'll be in the group.
You don't even have to bring a gift. Just make it. Just make it to L.A. That's the gift. Just get here. You can chip in on my potted plant that Jeffrey was going to give me.
excuse me, there will be no potted plant gift from Jeffrey. Because, you know, I have this horrible issue when it comes to birthdays and weddings and such. I always feel like I want to one-up and give the best gift. Because, really, the attention should be on me.
The gift is you guys making it here and actually making it happen, like getting here. The gift is helping me that day because I'm going to need all the help I can get. You know what's funny
I haven't
secured the location yet. We picked a date, but I'll secure it. I think next week I'm going to secure the location. But I've got a caterer. I've got table runners for tables that I haven't even rented yet, but I've got table runners. I've got a decor idea, Jeffrey. I haven't told you. I have to show you. I have to send you pictures.
Oh, Lord.
No, I do. I've got it. It's already cooking in my brain. It's actually really cute. Mm-hmm. Very stylish, very modern, very 2014, let me tell you.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
I'm probably going to buy an outfit when I get to L.A. just so I have something nice that I know will fit me when I get there.
Okay. I tell you this, like, I obviously am going to be dressed up a little bit. You know, some of it wearing a wedding dress. But it's come as you are. Like, obviously there are going to be people who are very dressed up, and then there are going to be people who are just chilling. I'm a very casual person myself, so if I could get away with wearing jeans and a wife beater, then I would. But, you know, they're not having it. Viola's not having it. She's going to dress me up that day. Jeffrey, what are you doing that you're so quiet? What'd you say, James?
I wasn't trying to interrupt.
Oh, you can interrupt this conversation. Say what's on your mind, my dear friend.
Oh, I was just going to say, my style, for some reason, like, I'm starting to go a little bit more preppy in my style.
I like it.
So I see me dressing up for your wedding, looking at least, you know,
I love it.
Somewhat stylish.
My little ring bearers are going to be preppy. They're going to have little bow ties and little suspenders, and they're going to be real cute. They're going to have little hats. I got them all decked out. They're excited, too. My little nephews
like
are so excited.
I can already guarantee that. I'm going to end up looking like the waiters.
I love it.
People are going to come up and
Jeffrey, what about you?
Champagne. Oh, sorry, that was weird.
Hopefully, I will be skinny as shit, so therefore I'll probably be naked.
Ooh. I didn't know we're having wedding slash bachelor.
And speaking of singing, you guys ruined the plan talking about all the singing because I was going to sing you a special song.
Oh, go ahead.
Well, I'm not doing it now. I'm talking about at the wedding. I was going to dedicate a song to you and Boo.
You're a damn lie.
Especially for me. No, I really was going to do it.
You a damn liar.
And how did we ruin that? Is my question.
Okay, well, there was actually two songs.
Who could have done it?
Because
right.
y'all were talking about singing at the wedding, and it just, I felt like the secret was out. And it's such a shame because I was going to sing When I Think About You, I Touch Myself, followed
okay.
by Como Te Gusta Mi Pinga. Because
uh-huh.
when I think about you and boo, I want to touch myself.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh,
then it
God.
Makes me think about how do you like my pinga, you know?
Oh, great. I don't want you to have those thoughts when you think
That's
about me.
Great.
where's that little wand they had in Men in Black so I can erase your memory? erase mine so that I know you don't think of that.
It's just a fact.
I think he just said it for the reaction. I think he just said it for the reaction.
I know, right?
I think he was expecting
I don't know what
you're
talking
oh, yeah.
about.
Okay.
Yeah, but you know what, Jeff? So, let's get back to Atlanta. I need you there Thursday.
Yeah, I'll work on that.
God, I'm gonna have you locked out. I'm not gonna be there. You're gonna have to figure something else out.
Oh.
The welcome committee is not gonna be home.
Okay, so, you know, we've got to talk about the crazy that's going on in the world, because there is
okay.
tons of crazy.
Yeah, for sure.
And the first thing that is just all over the place is
mm-hmm.
Perez and Miss
mm-hmm.
Gaga going
what?
After it. Have you heard about this?
No, why? I thought they were friends.
Right, they were besties. I'm not sure what happened. But let me just, okay, so it starts with her tweeting him in all caps, "Stay away from me and my family. You are sick trying to rent an apartment in my building to stalk me. Leave me alone."
Whoa.
And then she puts, "Do I need to be shot in the head for people to understand that him and everyone else that harasses me has gone too far? I'm a human being." Then she proceeds to say, "Still have the text Perez sent me of me in a wheelchair with the words karma written across it, plus Madonna pointing a gun at me, day of my accident." I'm not sure what accident she got on.
No,
but apparently
she had. Remember, she hurt her hip. Remember? She was on
Doing
stage
what?
And she hurt her hip. And I don't know, but she had major, like, hip replacement reconstructive surgery. Like, she had major surgery.
Right. Well, I knew that, but I just didn't know how the accident had occurred. So needless to say, you know, it wouldn't be a good catfight without Perez responding. And it was kind of fabulous. And the comments, people are ripping him apart. But it's like, well, kind of deserve it.
Right.
But,
little
so he goes,
boy, they're loyal to her.
Right. So he goes on to say, he posts a little ditty
did
on his blog.
Did he say, or did he just like...
No. It's amazing. You're going to die. I have long had plans to return to New York City more permanently. New York was my home for 6 years in the mid-90s before I moved to Los Angeles. I also lived here for 3 months last year while doing an off-Broadway show, which I knew nothing about. I didn't know he could act. I'm a new father, and I'm primarily focused on my family and where we will be most happy. I love New York, and that is where me and my growing family want to call home right now. Ooh, I'm sorry. I'm still a little under the weather. Sunday, my realtor showed us a list of possible apartments to rent. I only learned after the fact that Lady Gaga lives in one of the buildings we were looking at, and she was across the country in Los Angeles when I viewed that building. Question. If they were such besties, how did she not know she lives in that building? Just saying. And then he goes
right.
on to say, "After a day of innocent house hunting, I am devastated, and my heart hurts that my former very good friend, a person I used to call my wifey, and traveled the world with, is making very public and very untrue allegations about me on Twitter. While it is still too painful for me to go into detail about why I choose to no longer make her a part of my life, I will say that I am a critic and not a stalker." And
there
then it
you
goes
go.
On. "Any allegation that I am stalking her based on a day of house hunting with my baby boy and my mother is utterly false, defamatory, and now appears to be putting me and my family in danger. I will continue to be a critic in a way that does not mean or involves name-calling, and I will continue to have an opinion and talk about music and songs. I'm saying, what? Like, he's making himself to be out a victim when he's made a career off of drawing penises on people's face and being mean.
Right. I think you know what it is. I think he started off there. And he was, it seemed, I always felt Perez was, like, he was a wounded, like, he's, you know, people who are mean are usually people who are very hurt inside. Or very, they kind of have a self-hatred. It's kind of like a defense mechanism. Let me be mean first before someone's mean to me kind of thing. And he made a career out of that. And then I think he had an epiphany. And I think he realized he didn't really want to be the mean person. Like, he didn't
want to
be that
person.
Well,
I think he wanted to be the cool kid. He wanted to be the cool kid in school. And instead of him being the cool kid, people started to hate him.
Yeah.
So I think that's why he had the epiphany. Not because he changed, but because he wants to be the cool kid. And I kind of feel it's all about attention. But at the same time, I'm not a big fan of hers. Okay, I'm not a fan at all. I've never really cared for her. And there's been many reports that she's all full of mental illness and she's a compulsive liar. Again, these are just allegations. I know none of it is true because I do not know this chick. But I am not a fan.
Right.
So either way, you know, I feel like her tweeting the stuff that she did and him saying that, like, just give me a break. And what I find very funny is her single just came out. And apparently Katy Perry's did better than hers or whatever.
Yeah, her song sucks.
Yeah.
Katy Perry's song sucks too, but okay. It's the better.
Isn't
it
kind of coincidental that she starts tweeting him right before she's supposed to go on Good Morning America? Like, come on now. Like, give me a break. They may not very well be friends anymore, but the timing of it all to me is too coincidental.
It's a little suspect.
And then him saying he's a critic, and, I mean, the people on the comments on his post are just relentless. They are so cruel to him. So it is kind of funny.
Right.
To where I almost feel bad for the bastard, but it's like, dude, you asked for this.
Right.
Yeah. Like, you did this to yourself, you know, so swallow it and deal with it. And, I mean, I feel like maybe he'd have more validity to his cause if he actually dished as to why they're not friends. Because I'm more curious about that than anything. I could care less if he's stalking her or if she hates him or what the case is. Why are they not friends anymore? Because to me, that's kind of odd. But he seems to have this habit of becoming friends with celebrities and then all of a sudden they don't talk anymore. I don't know about her because I don't follow her like that to know. But I know him. He's been friends with quite a few people, and then the friendship stopped.
Right, right.
So that, to me, says something about him.
Right. I think he kind of, he never, it's almost like, you know, it's very difficult for him to probably get friends because he's still doing his job. He's still doing what he's created, which is, you know, talk about people, criticize people, kind of review people. He is somewhat of a critic, criticize, you know, he definitely criticizes people, their careers, the choices they make, that kind of thing. So it's almost like a double-edged sword. Like, you know, you've built this career on, you know, like you said, almost being mean to people. And now, you know, here we are, you know, and you want to make friendships, but, you know, I think he can turn on you at any moment, or he can say something and maybe he thinks, oh, I'm just being a critic. And people are like, no, dude, you're talking about me, you know, and here you are smiling in my face one minute and talking about me the next minute. Doesn't work. You can't have both sides, you know. I don't know. Who knows? But I think it is kind of funny. I think it's very irresponsible, though, of her, because anything she puts out on Twitter, those little, like, monster fans of hers, they flip out. Like, I don't think it's smart of her to ever turn them against anyone. Like, it's just not cool. You know?
Right.
Well, you know, I just don't think that's responsible. Because they do stupid stuff. Like, they'll threaten someone's life, and maybe they're not going to actually do it. But no one deserves to get that threat. Yeah, it's still scary, because you never know. People are just crazy.
Right. And the funny thing is, I guess, apparently, in the weeks prior, he's been very negative about her and her music and whatnot and what have you. But here's the other thing. Now they're both in the spotlight all over mainstream media. And his website has lost a lot of its luster. So, again, I go back to, is this a coincidence?
Right.
Not so sure.
No, no.
Because he is not, I mean, he used to be the queen of media with huge hits. And, I mean, at one point we looked at advertising with him, and for, like, a little teeny blurb, for, like, a couple of days, it was over $30,000.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and that was the lowest. You know, price you could get to advertise on his page. And, I mean, that's not a small chunk of change, and that's on the low end, you know. So imagine what he was making. So, you know, to fall from grace like that, you know, when you get comfortable with a lifestyle where you're making all kinds of dough and all the, you know, cable networks are advertising their shows on your page because you're getting, you know, tens of millions of hits a day to, I have no idea what he's getting now. You know, that's a big fall from grace.
Right. Very much so.
So bad.
But you know what? Having a feud with Lady Gaga is good for business, like you said.
It sure is.
He's probably getting all kinds of traffic on that site now. Cha-ching, cha-ching.
Well, it's funny. At the top, it says trending. Demi Lovato, Glee, Lady Gaga, Katy Perry, and Adam Lambert.
Uh-huh.
You know,
I like
Demi Lovato.
Wow. Well, very interesting. That is, I'm not a huge Lady Gaga fan. I don't not like her. I just, her music is either hit or miss for me. Like, either I love a song that she does or I don't like it. Like, there's no in-between. And this new song, I'm not feeling at all.
I've never liked her because I feel like she used all the costumes and all the crazy props and whatever. To kind of hide behind, where I feel like, you know, she's got a good voice.
Yeah,
it's not like she's
not
talented. But then also, there's so many things that she's come out with that just sound like that one song that sounded exactly like Madonna's, and the music video looked like Madonna's. It's a little crazy. And then I think Katy Perry just had something happen with that.
Right.
With some song.
Well, her song sounds like real catchy. Like, it sounds like that one girl song. The one who was, she's a lesser known pop star, but still has great songs. But yeah, like they, like to me, I think it's so hard. Like the whole Lady Gaga Madonna thing. I mean, I could see that because that's like Lady Gaga probably grew up listening to Madonna. You know, Madonna was the first one to kind of shock people. Like she did things. And,
but your songs
you know,
should never sound because when they took out the vocal track. The song was almost identical. It was kind of like the whole Vanilla Ice thing, where it's like mine was like ding 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 da da ding ding, and the other one was ding 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 da da ding ding. You know,
right.
Like
okay,
give me
what? Like what you talking about, fool? That was the funniest. I've seen that interview, and I was like, he's so stupid. He just played himself. Like, take his money. He needs his money taken away just on that that explanation. Yeah, it was pretty. It was pretty lame. Yeah, no, I mean, it was very close, very, very close. But I don't like the new Katy Perry song either. Like, it's horrible. Like, what happened to Katy? She usually delivers on a good one. And it's like, ever since she's got with John Mayer, she's kind of fallen off for me.
I just read that tonight. I didn't even know. I've been sort of touched the last 3 weeks.
They've been dating for, like, almost a year, I would say.
And, like, why would you date him? Like, he's a sleazeball. He's dated everybody in Hollywood. He nails the bail.
Right, and it's like you're a number. Like, you're pretty much, like, I don't want to know, like, 8 people you dated that we could run into at, like, a music awards or something.
And it ended
like,
horribly.
Horribly. Like, talked about them, told their business, wrote songs about them, you know, pissed them off to write songs about him. Like, it's just whack.
Like,
it's
his pinga has got way too many miles on it. Like, I wouldn't even want to be near that thing.
Yeah.
Like, he could, like, throw $1 million on the table, and I would just walk away like that. He's not cute.
You a lie. You would get that money and be like, let me, what I got to do for this? Where's that pinga?
No way. That thing has been in too much dirty fish. No thanks.
Yeah, he's not very cute to me either. I liked him when he was a little more clean cut. Now he's kind of like Grizzly Adams. Like, I don't know.
I mean, come on. He dated, Taylor Swift, Jessica Simpson. I mean, come on now.
All right. He's got a little trend going. He likes the pop singers.
Jennifer Aniston. Like, he's been all over.
I couldn't believe he dated Jennifer Aniston. Like, I thought she was a little bit more classy. Like, I'm like, you dated John Mayer? Like, come on, girl. Like, you can't go from Brad Pitt to John Mayer.
Right.
Like, she needs
time
a man.
Is hard,
she
girl.
John
time
Mayer.
Is hard.
Well, she's got a man now that what's his name, Justin Theroux? Like, he's a man. That makes more sense to me. Like, he's a grown man. He's got his own career. He's doing his own thing. Like, John Mayer, John Mayer obviously has his own career, but he just seems like a teeny bop. Like, he just seems like
what career?
Started.
When's the last time he had a hit? Go ahead, I'll wait.
No, I don't know. I'll follow him like that. He put an album out, though, recently. I heard a song. They play it all the time on pop radio.
I mean, I know I'm not the best person to judge music careers because, you know, I'm not in the car very often. And when I am, odds are, you know, I've got my little iPhone playing music,
too.
You know. I'll be listening to some Everybody Get Together.
I bet you do.
I'll take a video next time I'm in the car, in the passenger seat, of course, because I would never be irresponsible enough to take a video while I'm driving instead of the care of me.
Crazy
singing.
People. If
some
you see that buggy, if you
I
see
did,
that buggy boot going
I
by, then you know.
And I actually just watched that music video, by the way, and oh my goodness.
I know.
What music video?
Fabulous. Crush, hello.
The music video for the song. There's a music video for the song on YouTube.
The hair and stuff? I was like, TLC what?
That's funny. Well, all those girls will be at the wedding. They're coming to the wedding. It's a crush reunion.
I know. I'm going to get with them, and we're going to do us a little dance number, and I'm going to be you.
Okay, perfect.
I'm going to get that weave you had in that video.
That will actually help me out a lot. I will appreciate it if you did that.
Could you? I want the weave you had in the video. I could do that dance. It's pretty.
I had like four or five of them in that video.
I could do it. I got this.
Man, we had like the best guy. Like he, he passed away. Like he actually did my hair. When I was on Power Rangers, and he passed away towards the end of me being on Power Rangers, but he was amazing, amazing hairstylist. His name was Victor. I miss him terribly. He was just a great guy. Like, I just remember shooting that video, and he was in the corner dancing the whole time, you know, because your energy, I think we shot the video, it took us like 2 days, but we worked like 15 hours each day. So, I mean, you hit hour 10, you're like falling asleep in the corner. But yeah, it was great.
You falling asleep in the corner? I can't imagine, because knowing you and being in a reality show with you, you're a fucking slave driver. I say that with love.
Yeah. When I wake up, they say action. I'd be like, okay, where am I at? What are we doing?
Yeah, you are a really kind of a fucking ball of energy. It's kind of crazy.
Oh,
for such
thanks.
A little person, you've got way too much energy.
Thanks. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. I take that as a compliment. I take that as a compliment. But, yeah, you'll get to meet the girls live and in person. And all of Kimani's group will be there, too. They're all reuniting as well.
Oh, girl, reunited, and it feels so good. I have to say, I'm really excited for his group because... This boy. Wait, did you just say his name on air?
Whew. I did. Oh my gosh! Erase this live show.
So, needless to say, that one day, her and I were on the phone gabbing, and all of a sudden, he's like busting out in the back singing or something. And honey, Woo! I could have soaked that up like a biscuit and gravy. He was fabulous. He got some pipes
got
on
vocals.
Him.
He's got vocals.
Yes, he do.
He's got vocals.
Hallelujah.
Mhm. It's funny because he's like.
According to Jennifer Holland in the chat room, that's the second time you've dropped his name.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think I've said it before. I always accidentally say it.
No, I didn't think you had. Because I purposely.
I think I said it once before.
No,
maybe.
I never say his name. He's like, really is the one who shan't be named.
Yeah. but it's all good. But, he's got vocals. The other day, my niece, she was like, ask him, is he ready for our duet? because one day they were in the car and they were singing. And he was like, oh, I love her, because she sings, My niece will sing along with him. And she's like, tell him if he's ready for our duet. And I tell you, he hit her with something. I forget what he was singing, but she's like, okay, I guess he's ready. He shook her in her boots. She didn't know what to do. She got shook. It was hilarious.
Funny.
Yeah, it was hilarious. Hilarious. But it all works out. I don't know if he's singing at the wedding, but they'll be in the house. We could probably provoke them to sing.
Girl, I'd be trying hard.
Mm-hmm. I think everybody will, because it's like, you can't have them all in the house and nobody do anything. Like, come on.
All I have to say is if I end up on a plane and I have to fly to L.A. for your wedding, I expect to meet him to meet me at the airport, and the minute he sees me, I expect him to start singing.
Oh, good luck with that.
He wants them $500 wine glasses, he will.
Oh, $500. That's more than the potted plant.
Here's the thing. So I went to that mall. We have Destiny USA, which was supposed to be like turned into the number one mall in the country. And of course,
mm-hmm.
It's not. But it's still pretty awesome. And they have one of those plates, the Swarovski crystal store.
Swarovski crystals. Uh-huh.
Yeah, in the mall. So
mm-hmm.
I went shopping Friday with my mom and some girls. And girl, I saw that store and I beelined it. They're like, where the hell are you going? You can't afford it. I'm like, this is where it pays to discover. My mother was like, you're supposed to be saving money. I said, yeah,
exactly.
But I need two more than wine glasses.
Oh man, you're crazy. Don't even think about buying me anything like that.
They had to
drag you out of there?
Yep.
Crazy. Yeah, don't buy me nothing like that, because I'm liable to break them.
Well, it's okay. What I found out, which now I'm using them, is because if you save the pieces, you can ship it to them and they'll send you a replacement.
Again,
like, which at that price,
don't waste your money and buy me anything like that.
Okay, well, fine. I'll tell you what. I'll get them for you, and then you can re-gift them to me.
No, thank you. You're just buying them for yourself. That makes no sense.
Do you see how it always comes back to me? I thought you would
uh-huh.
have figured this out 2 years later.
Always.
Okay, but we really got some more craziness to talk about before we run out of time, because there's a big one.
Okay.
So we'll do this one quickly. Is Lohan, hello, Oprah,
mm-hmm.
crazy.
Did you watch it?
No, I don't
I
think,
watched
isn't it.
It
airing next week?
No, it was last night.
Son of a bitch.
It played last night. Yeah, I watched it. Like, I watched it last night. Like, I've straight up set a reminder, watched it. It was pretty interesting.
Oh, I might have to check my DVR because I thought, well, either way. So it was all of the little, da-da-da-da-da-da shows.
Mm-hmm.
And they were, like, ripping her apart and had all these people on there saying, like, she was lying, her eyeball was going the wrong way. Like, all this kind of craziness that she wasn't telling
what?
The truth. And I saw the clip where she was like, I've only tried it, like, 10 or 15 times. I'm like, bullshit. Bullshit, bullshit, bullshit. Because
I believe her, though, in the sense that Like, I don't think cocaine was her drug of choice. She said, Oprah asked her, she said, what was your drug of choice? She said, alcohol.
Like, no, and I understand that.
And then she goes, what alcohol does, though, she said, was it would be a gateway to other things. Like, I would drink and drink. She goes, and cocaine would allow me to stay up longer and I could party longer. And that meant I could drink more. Like, she's like, alcohol is my problem. Like, it made sense to me.
I understand that, but I have an issue with the whole gateway thing. Like, you already have a disposition, because there's plenty of alcoholics that don't go out and start blowing lines because they're drunk. Like, you've already got an issue, sister. So don't feed me that bullshit,
okay? That's
what
I think.
Okay?
I do think that that's the thing. Like, I honestly believe. Oh, go ahead.
No, you.
No, I was going to say, I do think, though, that that's the thing. Like, I really think that, like, sometimes weed, alcohol, though, I do believe in that gateway thing. Because it just, people start partying, and then when you're out of control, there's no rules. You know, so then you do, I think that's just what happens. But, like, alcohol, weed, those things kind of kick off whatever it is you're trying to get to, you know?
But this,
and for
again,
her, it was, like, constant party, constant, like, you know, being drunk. Like, she just wanted to be drunk.
Like, there are tons of people across the country that smoke weed like it's their job and that drink like it's their job, and they don't do other things. Like, I feel like it's kind of more with the individual. Like, the whole gateway thing, I feel like you're an alcoholic because you like to drink too much. You know? Like, I feel like
Adderall. No, she talks about Ambien, too. She said she went to rehab the first time. Yeah. She said she went to rehab the first time because she was on Ambien. And she goes, I didn't feel like it was an addiction, but it started like I didn't know the side effects. And I had, like, really weird side effects, and I was, like, tripping. And I had, like, some really bad, like, I had some bad experiences with it. But I took it for about a month, and I ended up having to go to rehab because
I
was, like,
Ambien.
It kind of...
When I was a teenager,
Girl,
give me a break. Like, I don't know. Like, this is where I have a hard time.
They have weird reactions.
I know. I took it.
It's not the same.
But I've also saw the clips, and I kind of flash back to Whitney, to when she went and did whatever it was, 24th season, 23rd season of Oprah's show, and she did the opening, and it was her first thing, and they did the two-part, and she's like, no, all the drugs, and blah, blah, blah. So I kind of feel like it's deja vu. But I will say, she looked fantastic.
She did.
She looked better than she has in years. And I do truly believe that she wants to get better. Like, I felt like just in the clips that I saw, I did believe that she wants to get better and that she knows she has an issue. I just don't feel that she's completely honest about all of her issues. When you get arrested and you have a bag of cocaine, like, the size you don't do that 10 or 15 times. And the fact that you could say I've only done it 10 or 15 times is just bullshit to me. Because I could say I did it 10 or 15 times, and it's not the case. I mean, I didn't even do it that much. But, you know, I also didn't go to rehab multiple times and fucking steal people's jewelry and coats and steal people's vehicles with them in it and crash it into shit. You know, like, there's a big difference, and I don't know how honest she was, but now that I know it's out, I am going to go watch the whole thing so I can have a little better take on it. But she did look amazing, and I really hope that this is it, and she gets her shit together. I know it's like an everyday struggle. You got to take one day at a time, but I really hope she can come through it, because she'd be one of the few success stories. I feel like there's not that many compared to the sad stories we hear. You know, like Robert Downey Jr., like, he had an amazing comeback, and I feel like she could probably do that because she was a great little actress. She's fun to watch.
Yeah, no, the thing about her that I felt was whether she's fully, you know, confessing to anything, I really believed her when she said that alcohol was her thing. Like, I think if she laid in bed and if she's an addict, and what she wants to do is she wants to drink, period, you know? And I think that when she drinks, she's one of those people that loses control, and anything is possible at that point. Like, she can do drugs, she can, like, crash cars, she can, like, it's just, she's out of control, you know?
Right.
And then I did appreciate the fact that she actually called herself an addict on more than one occasion throughout the conversation. I don't think she's ever admitted to being addicted to anything.
I don't either.
And she said for the first time, like, she actually bought into rehab. Like, she actually, you know, she says a lot of times I just was kind of like, oh, I'm missing stuff. Or, you know, she just kind of did what she needed to do to get through it and fulfill it, and then she went back to her life.
And the thing is, I feel like it shows, because if you look at her, she looks healthy, whereas before she looked like she was a few steps away from death.
Yeah.
And then, I find interesting is the whole Oprah telling her not to go to Europe, and she didn't go. But frankly, I mean, if Oprah told me not to do something, I wouldn't do it either. And plus, it's on TV, so I have a hard time kind of deciphering. Did she not go because Oprah told her not to go and she really thought it through, or because this was going to be on national TV? And once that broke, it's not going to look good if she did go. Oprah's on TV asking you not to go. You're doing this documentary series from her. You're getting a boatload of cash. She's asking you not to go, and if you did go, it would just kind of look like she is back to her old ways.
Right. Well, you know what? It was good advice, though, but Oprah's invested in her. Did you know this? Like, she's going to do a whole docuseries of therapy and treatment, and because, like, I really appreciate Oprah for that, because I always felt like she always offered a doctor, or she tried to help people. She didn't just have them on the show and go, okay, I'm going to exploit you. She actually would try to, you know, help them, you know?
Well, even with her little reality shows that they did when OWN first started, they had the Judd, Shania Twain. Like, it was never like a reality show where it was exploitation. Like, it was like these women in these shows, these people trying to get their life back together.
Right. And it was really, it was really sad at times. Like I think Lindsay would tear up, like, when she talked about her, especially when she talked about her family. And, like, when Oprah said, you know, because she was very much, like, she's a typical daughter in the sense that she loves her parents. And even when Oprah was like, don't you think that sucks? Like, your dad did this, or your mom did this. Don't you think that's wrong? Don't you think that's wrong? And for a minute, she was like, no. I mean, I don't think they intentionally did it. I don't think they intentionally tried to hurt me. I don't think they really, you know, like, she goes, I think at the end of the day, they were trying to hurt each other. But I don't think they meant to do that. But then Oprah finally called her out on one thing and was like, your dad took your conversation and released it. And you were saying that your mom was on coke. Like, you accused your mom being on coke. She goes, yeah, but I was really upset with her. And she was like, I was out of control. Like, I was just on one, you know, and I was just, you know, I wanted to hurt my mom at that time. Like, we were fighting and I wanted to hurt her. And I knew the way I could hurt her was call my dad and tell him something like that, because that would get him pissed and he would go after her too, you know? And then she goes, but don't you think it sucked that your dad put that out? Don't you think that was wrong? Don't you think that he betrayed you? And, like, Lindsay stopped, and she goes, yeah, that was bad. Yeah. And, like, her eyes just filled up with tears. And you could see at that moment that she's in a place of trying to, like, she's in a place of healing where she's, like, probably left rehab. She's trying to be positive. She's trying to forgive everybody. She's trying to, like, you know, she has to forgive in order to go into her. But also with the forgiveness, she also has to admit that they've kind of been toxic. Like, they're a big reason why she's the way she is, why she turned to drugs and she turned to this crazy life. And, like, Oprah got her to admit that she's addicted to chaos. Like, she likes her life crazy. She likes it in upheaval, you know? She, like, oh, God, what is that? A whale? We have a whale on the show?
I'm sorry.
What the hell is that? We're doing a live show, Jacqueline. We don't need Shamu to join us.
Sorry. I was petting my dolphin, Sushi.
Oh, God. Were you, like, killing Izzy at the same time? What's going on over there? Never heard that sound.
It was actually a chair on the hardwood floor, but thanks for drawing that much attention to it. I appreciate it.
I thought you were, like, having a baby. I didn't know what was going on.
Yes, if I were to have a baby, it'd sound like Shamu coming out of my ass.
There you go! Happy Monday, everybody! Welcome back to Uncensored Radio!
See you tomorrow. Tomorrow we're going to talk about autism and the horrible letter that one mother got from her neighbor. So make sure you tune in.
I can't wait. Good night. Today.
Woo!
We have Karen Ashley on the phone, all nice and spry. How are you?
I'm great. I was just like dancing to your song. Chick, chat, chick, chat. I was trying to do a solo.
I heard you over there. I was like, oh goodness. She's getting the party started. It's Thirsty Thursday.
Yeah.
So we also have Miss Jill Allen.
Hello, hello, hello. I am doing good. I have been editing all day, so I am so happy to be on the phone, on the radio, right now, and out of editing booth. So, hey,
yeah.
Everybody.
We just ended a four-hour, like, session of watching. I saw you, Daisy, today, all day, and it's been crazy.
Yeah. We saw, caught some clips of you, Daisy, taking your weave out.
You know, I will do anything to pretty much get a laugh out of somebody. And, you know, Jeff just wanted a weave, and he kept bitching about his hair, so I had to do something. You know,
well,
it does take guts to take out your weave on camera, let me just tell you. You got some balls,
right, girl.
You do. Oh, and I think we're going to get Shanice and Angelique a little bit later. But, you guys, I actually started reading an article, and I wanted to run some things by you guys. When women ask for breaks in relationships, I mean, to me, it's kind of like it's code for, I like you, but I want to see what else is out there. And men think, oh, okay, we're on a break, it's a free, let's just go have fun, do whatever. But then I have some, I just needed to clear my head, and I'm like, clear your head from what? So what do you guys think? Is a break just a cop-out?
Can I go first?
I don't even think
that's code for I need a break, I want to see what else is out there. That's code for I want to fuck what else is out there.
Exactly.
That's what that is. Like, I'm not even going to sugarcoat it. When a guy tells you he needs a break, he wants to have sex with another girl and doesn't want to feel guilty because he's about to have sex with another woman. And at that moment, you as a woman have to make a choice if you want to deal with a guy who wants to sleep with other women or if you're going to bounce, because I would bounce. That's all that's code for, is I want to have sex with another woman.
So what if it's the woman saying she wants the break?
Oh, I can answer that because I've been there where I really sincerely wanted a break. And I think a lot of women actually do need breaks. Sometimes men can be overbearing. And when a guy is really into a relationship and you're not as into it, they can be really over the top and needy, because men are needy, as we know. And you really do need that break. And I have an example. You know, before I got married, I was engaged to someone else a few years prior. And after that engagement,
you didn't get all the engagements.
But after that engagement, I went back to school because I wanted to focus on myself, because relationships took so much out of me. And I remember when I was in school, I was like, I'm not going to get in a relationship. I don't want to focus on anybody but me right now. Because I think as women, sometimes we tend to, you know, focus on the guy in the relationship and what his needs are. We kind of like don't focus on us anymore. So during that process, when I was in school, guys thought that I was being a jerk to them when I was like, you know, I am not interested in really being in a committed relationship right now, and I really need my space. And they thought that I was playing them because that's their MO for that word. But in actuality, that was the truth. Like, I needed a break. I didn't want to commit. I didn't want to, like, call my phone. Where are you? What are you doing? What time are you going to be home? Are we still going? I didn't want any of that. I wanted to be free from any of that type of stress, and I didn't want to have to have anyone just need me at that moment. So,
but in the back of your head,
yeah,
in the back of your head, weren't you like, you know, maybe there's something else better for me out there? Like, even though you didn't want the responsibility of having to deal with calling somebody or having somebody, you know, because that's a responsibility all in itself, a relationship.
I guess it is.
I don't care what anybody says.
Huh?
No, it is. It's but you know what? I don't know that, were you even in a place, Jill, where you could sense that that was probably red flag, you know, I need a break, meaning I'm not really, you know, this isn't really the relationship that's going to be my end all, you know?
You know, I think that I needed a break, period. I think that
right.
I had noticed a pattern in myself where when I got relationships, I kind of stopped focusing on exactly what I wanted to do. And so I said, you know, this after this engagement and going through the engagement and breaking up, I also realized how much I didn't want to play with love. And I didn't really want to fall in love again unless I was going to marry that person. Because it's very heartbreaking. Even if you want to get out to break the other person's heart, it's very, it's a lot of energy. And I said, I don't want to do that again. And I need to focus on me. And I wish I had thought that way at 22, but I didn't. So, you know, here I am in my late 20s, and I was, you know, thinking that way. But I was not in a place at all to relationship with anybody. And men really were offended. They were sincerely offended, as if they don't use that all the time. Like, I'm not ready, or I need a break. You know?
You gave them a taste of their own medicine. Don't you find it funny? But this is where it's kind of like men and women are definitely like that theory. Women are from Venus, men are from Mars. We think differently. We approach life differently. And what we say means something totally different. If they said the same thing, it would be a totally different meaning, I think, behind it. But it's funny because you gave them a taste of their own medicine, and I bet they pursued you even harder. Whereas if you would have been into it and you would have been giving them kind of the attention that they wanted, then they would have probably flipped the script and kind of been like, oh. It's almost like if a person doesn't have that chase, if they don't have that challenge, they almost don't want you. And, like, I've always told girls, I'm like, a man's going to want you when you give him a challenge and he has to chase.
Yeah.
Because it's almost like they're the hunter. Like, they have that in them to, like, get you, you know?
Yes.
That's hilarious.
Well, let me ask you, with these guys that you know, you asked for a break, you needed it, you sincerely did it. It was it a break where both of you decided, okay, we're not going to see other people? Was that something that you strongly inputted, or was it more of, you know, you can go ahead and do whatever you're going to do?
Let me go back. A little more. No, I called off my engagement. I was done. So it wasn't really a break. It was an end. But I needed a break, meaning that I didn't want to get into another relationship. So I was taking a vacay for Jill to, you know, really find out what it is that she wants to do, career-wise, life-wise, what do I want, and not have a man in that mix.
Right. You know, when I say this, this is where men and women are very different, too, and I've noticed with my girlfriends, we actually grow more as people when we have that moment to be alone, where men, it's almost like they never are alone. Like, I don't know one guy who just goes a long stretch without dating someone, unless something's wrong with them or unless they're not, like, you know, but, like, let's just say a normal guy, good-looking, can get women, that kind of thing. They usually are never alone, and they will always have someone around, even if it's like a jump off, or it's a girlfriend, or it's a wife. They never are alone. Where women, there is a moment in your life, I think you always reach a crossroad where you kind of need time by yourself, and you almost have to, like you are almost like, it's almost like women get made fun of because it's like they're in that I hate men stage. It's not even that. It's more like I love me stage, so I need time to not, like, you know, because women, I think, naturally, you kind of hit on this earlier, we give a lot of our energy to man, and it's like we're almost like social workers to love. Like, we give so much of ourselves in a relationship
that
you lose yourself.
Social worker.
You lose yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, but, like, my personal, and this is Daisy, my personal feeling on it is if I've never asked for a break, like, I've just, if I decided this isn't working for me or if there's something that I'm unhappy with, then I just remove myself from the situation and I'll be like, listen, shit ain't working out. I'm sorry. We were great together. And, you know, butterflies and roses and rainbows and all that other shit. But if I were to ask for a break, sincerely, because I had thought about it in one relationship where I was perfectly content. The guy was perfect. He was just great and awesome and all that other great stuff. But then I thought in the back of my head, you know, maybe I need a break, you know, to see what else is out there. You know what I mean? So I don't know if necessarily I'd be like, you know, I just need a break for me. I'd be needing a break to go find someone else. You know what I mean?
But you know what's funny is that when you take a break for yourself, you usually end up finding the right person because when you're taking that time to kind of develop yourself and parts of you that you didn't develop earlier, you end up kind of usually running into the person that is the best compatible for you. That's my opinion, and I think that's what happened in my case.
Mm.
Right. Mm. Right.
Mm.
Is that Jeffrey?
Oh,
is that Mara?
It's the ex-drag queen. I feel that I could probably take a little chit-chat here, and I have to tell y'all right now, y'all making me grin my teeth. Because here's the thing, if anybody, male or female, you need to take a break in a relationship, you don't need to be there, period.
Right,
end of story.
Right. I agree. I think that's the first time, because when you really are into someone, you deal with the bullshit. You deal with the peaks, you deal with the valleys, you deal with the good, you deal with the bad. When you really go, I need a break. Then that just kind of is one of those things where you, like, have to be honest with yourself, whether you're in that place or not. But you kind of need that's not the person for you.
True.
I agree. I couldn't agree more. And talking about a break, I think we need a break to introduce Angelique, who just joined us.
Hey.
Hello, Miss Faith. How are you?
Hola. How you doing?
So, Angelique, have you ever asked for a break in a relationship before?
Yeah, I'm on a break now. A very long one that I won't be coming off of.
But see, it brings us back to what I had touched upon and what Jeffrey had touched upon, that if you want a break, you really just don't want to be in that relationship. You're looking for something.
I'm done. I'm done with mine. I tried to come off break about a week ago, and he just took a pistol and just, I don't know, he did something. I'm done. He said the wrong thing to me, and I was like,
What?
Why did you call the police? What the hell? No, I was about to say he pretty much shot his foot off, and then I was like, no way, I don't want to condone violence on the air, so I kind of just checked that little comment.
Well, I thought she said something about a pistol.
You gotta finish that thought. You don't have to change the subject.
Like,
one on one. The conversation. Oh, my goodness.
Everyone got silent. No, he really shot himself in the foot. Like, you know what? Everyone knows me. Pretty much don't wake me up in, you know, if I'm taking a nap with any BS. And he assumed I had sent him the voicemail. And my phone wasn't anywhere near me. He called me from a random number. I didn't know who it was. They got cussed out. Turned out it was him. All I remember was an F you somewhere involved in that. And I told him after he go F himself. And that was pretty much the end of the conversation.
Wow.
And I was like, you know, this is not going to work.
From waking up from a nap?
That sounds like even more issues than just the break.
But you know what? Like, as quick as it blew up, I feel. See, this is my thing. When you're in a relationship, and this goes for males and females, if something has pissed you off before you call your significant other, do not call them.
Yeah, that's true.
So whatever happened before, I guess he just assumed that he was going to bring it my way, and he just accidentally woke me up, and it just went all bad.
It sounds like you had something going on.
You
were just upset about getting woke up.
You know, that's how I am, period. My mama even knows not to wake me up. And, see, you forget, he didn't text me from his number. he texted me from a regular number, so I just had digits in my phone. It didn't even say his name.
Uh-oh. Wow.
Yeah, so, you know, you wake up and someone's like, oh, why'd you send me the voicemail? Who the hell are you?
Wow. Can you please write a book for us? Can you please write a book about your life?
Because
every single time we have conversations, I'm like, what? How is that even possible? I love it.
Let me ask you this.
Have you guys ever broken up with somebody because they're not financially stable? Not poor, but just not in the right financial bracket as you would wish.
I will say this, I have, but it
wasn't because I was judging them for their financial situation, because that was their situation. But what happened is that usually when a man is in a bad financial place, he's not the man that he wants to be, so he does kind of pull that into the relationship. And you deal with all the stress of him not being where he needs to be financially. And I think that's the key thing with men. If you date a guy and he's not where he needs to be financially, he's not going to, you know, be very happy. I think a man wants to, you know, innately make money. He wants to be doing well. I don't know one man that doesn't want, you know, that. Like, I think everyone wants it, whether they get it or not. So I did break up with him, but it was because he was a different person than the person I met when he was doing okay for himself. You know? And then when things went bad, he turned into a different person. And it was bad. And, I mean, yeah, it just wasn't good.
No, I agree.
My topic of, you know, would you rather, you guys would like to do that. Because I have a question, like, would you rather, as a woman, be with someone, have ultimate love, but unsurety when it comes to finances? Or would you rather be financially 100% secure? You know you're going to be retired. You can shop whatever you want to do, but you're not 100% in love with that person and not sure how your feelings will grow. Who wants to go first?
Well, this is Angelique. I've done that, been there. It doesn't work for me. Love you to death, but I don't love the bus, and I don't like top ramen noodles like that. So we're going to have to have some kind of financially, you know, stability or something, you know? Like, I can't do it. You know, love can only go so far. So if you're sleeping on the floor and you know, you seem critters and stuff walking past you and stuff growing out the corners. Like, no, that's not cool.
I didn't say you were in poverty. I just said you didn't have financial security. God, what?
You can defend me. I'm a child now. God. Oh, my goodness.
I'm like, if he's going to put it like that, I guess I want the rich guy. Oh, man.
Yeah,
dang.
Well, I want to answer this question next because Jill brings up a pretty good point. I mean, love is great and everything else, but honestly, if you read the statistics, most marriages over 80% end because of monetary issues. If you don't have money, you can't even buy some food, you know, for lunch or something, it's going to become a problem. And then you guys are going to start bickering, and then it's going to be like, well, you don't do enough. Well, no, you don't. And then, you know, you start attacking each other as opposed to working together. And that's with any type of financial problem. When it comes down to money, money is the root of all evil, and it seriously is, because it will tear down freaking relationships, families, countries, and we all know this. So I'm going to go with money. On the would you rather. Money, money, money. Ms. Karen?
That's a tough one. I mean, like I said, the way Angelique painted it, man, I think I'm going to go for the rich guy.
No, but being a homeless person like
what I will say, though, is like if you've ever been in love, you honestly don't ever not want to have it. Like if you've ever truly been in love in a functional relationship, I'm not saying a, you know, one-way street where you were in love and he wasn't, or he was in love and you weren't. I'm saying, like, you truly were in love and that person was in love with you and you had this fulfilling relationship, I don't know that I would ever want to give that up. I'm in that situation now. Like, we're not rich, but it's like one of those situations where we are truly in love with each other. We're truly best friends with each other, and I can't even imagine not having that in my life. You know, it is, I mean, I just can't. So I would have to go with the love.
Yeah.
Are you equals in that relationship as far as what's coming in racial-wise?
Yeah,
you know,
well,
are you
he's
guys...
a little, he's a, he does, I think, a little bit better than I do, but we're pretty
okay.
Cool. We're pretty
mm-hmm.
Cool financially.
But that's a little bit different. Let's say that, and I'm going to bring Angelique into this picture just because I know a little bit about her, you know, say it's Angelique, she's a single mom,
that's
she has children that she needs to take care of. I know, I heard a baby too. I was like, oh, wait a minute, my ovaries are crying.
Yeah. She wants some money.
Forget what y'all talking about.
So, okay, so I'm going to bring up this little scenario here. It's Angelique. She has two kids. She's a single mother, and she falls head over heels over this guy. But
uh-huh.
He doesn't have a job at the moment, okay?
Maybe.
He has a great family that's supporting him, and he has potential, and he's great to her, and he loves the kids, and the kids love him, and everything's freaking rainbows and roses. But at the end of the day, you know, he's going to have to support him. So it's not equal. What, I mean, would love at that point just be, like, conquering everything?
No.
Okay. I have to put it in perspective. I mean, you guys are, like, getting, like, the homeless guy, the lazy guy. I'm not saying that you've got to choose, you know, to the extreme. I'm saying, what if you're going to live an ordinary life? It's not, you know, you may not be able to vacation every summer. You have a basic life. You're not shopping every day. Maybe you're even couponing. But, I mean, you're paying your basic bills. That versus having it all financially.
Right. It's like you're paying your basic bills, but you ain't getting to go on vacation. You're just the end of the meeting. That's it. Ain't no extras.
Right.
You know, it's like, it is what it is. But you're in love.
Hey, and he may have a 9-to-5, but what if his 9-to-5 is just, you know, I don't know, maybe he's a bus driver, maybe he's a mechanic, maybe he, you know. So, if you know, I'm not saying that you're dating a bad character of man. I'm saying, would you date or marry somebody who wasn't financially secure as TV depicts that you should be, meaning that you need red bottoms on and, you know, your hair done and everything to be perfect? Like, what would you choose? The picture perfect scenario with just the money, or would you pick love and, you know, work every day with working people and make life work?
Girl, I still say love. I mean, I honestly, like I said, I've been without love, and I've been in a relationship where we had extras and we were doing, and there was no, like, true love there, and it was empty. It was meaningless.
Mm-hmm.
It was just, like,
Karen,
just, like, not
Jeffrey
good.
Is calling you a liar, girl.
I'm not lying.
I'm reading what he's posting in the chat room.
He's just a hater because
he's calling your ass out.
He's just a hater because technically he's not a chick and he can't really chat. Ha!
there you have it,
Jeffrey. I mean,
hell no.
I know, right? I've been there. I've been with the guy with the cash, and it was, I mean, I'm telling you, it's always like pros and cons to every situation. There are just as equal pros and cons to a financial situation and then pros and cons to the rich guy. Like, they bring baggage, too, trust. They bring it. So it's like, you really, I don't know. I just think that love is so freaking hard to find. And everyone on this earth, that it ends up being, that's your major search. You search for love. You search for companionship. Search one who brings life as opposed to... And it's like one woman who would give that up. I don't know. If she's had a real taste of it, I don't know.
Well, and I think that we don't have to give it up. I'm just saying, you know, monetary issues play a large part in a relationship.
Oh,
and
I agree.
If I can have the love and the money, that'd be great. But let's just say that.
But that is a question.
I know. It's a would you rather. But no, I'm going to say I'd rather have the money.
There you go.
I'm going to be a gold digger. It's okay. Oh, wait a minute. We have a comment. We have a caller. Jeffrey, you want to put him through? I believe it's Michael Fishman.
Oh, Karen, I love you. Thank you for taking the right side on this one.
You're welcome. Who is this? Michael Fishman?
It's Michael Fishman. I was listening
Yay!
To you, baby.
Hey!
I have to say, you find the person that you're supposed to be with, or you find the best people when you're not looking. I think that that is absolutely true. But, man, money comes and goes. If you don't have somebody, you're going to spend the rest of your life dealing with bullshit. I'm just telling you. You know, when I met my wife, I had some money. Now I don't have a lot of money, but she stuck with me. Sooner or later, I'll make more. Money can be found. You can work things out.
I totally agree. This is Jill. I completely agree.
From a man.
Yeah. And I believe that money comes and goes as well.
I mean, think about it.
Like, look at websites. There's websites for you to meet someone. There's social gatherings so you can meet someone. There's men who go to clubs. Everybody kind of starts to meet someone. So it's...
Oh, Miss Karen, you're cutting in and out, babe.
I agree with Karen, and I agree with Michael, and I do. And, you know, I think that love is something that's very hard to find. And if you can find it, I would rather have love over money. And I believe that money can come and go. And, you know, I've seen it in my life where you're up and you have a great job and it's, you know, paying great money, and then you lose it and things turn around. I think a lot of Americans have, you know, gone through a lot of things like that recently, and you realize what's really important. And when you have that love as a foundation and a base, it's just like you can still go on, you can rebuild, you can move forward. And so I think that for myself as well, I would choose love.
But, Jill, weren't you the one that said that you blame Disney for women being the way that they are?
Blame TV? No, I said I blame cartoons, like the princess cartoons. And all that stuff where the guy was going to come and, you know, take all their problems away. And, yeah, I do.
But think about it. In those cartoons, they're always marrying the rich guy. They're always marrying the prince. They're always marrying, you know. It's never they marry the poor dude.
And I think that's why I don't like them. I think that, and I have a daughter, and you know, me and my husband have talked about, like, not even introducing her to those types of movies unless she requests it, you know, because I think it does give them a little bit of false, a falsehood of, you know, what life is really about. What is all that noise?
I hear kids.
Mute your phone. Somebody that like the racetrack or something.
I know. First I heard typing, then I heard kids.
I think it's that Angelique girl.
I'll take that blame.
I'm in Reno, so I'm standing outside. I don't know if it's me, unless you guys are hearing any cars go by.
We are.
That's what.
We're hearing it all. Like, I'm hearing a siren. We're, like, seeing.
Well, I'm sorry. I was getting my nails done. I was like, oh, it's time to do the show. And I ran out.
That's with the busy woman.
I took one for the team so much, I just realized he messed up on my pinky finger.
You better go back in there.
The pinky finger.
Okay. You cannot have a messed up pinky finger.
Oh, I'm going back. I'm going to go, though, after the show.
They're going to yell at you for messing up your pinky.
Right. Oh, you already know it's going to happen.
Oh, yeah, I know. I think we've all been there. So, let me ask you. We know the whole, okay. You look like a what?
No, I said, I wish I could twit pick this sexy, sexy man that just walked by me as I was talking about my pinky.
Do a text and run. Text it, take a picture and text it to us, and we'll put it on the chat room. I'll send it to Jeffrey.
I will, and I'll tell him I need a break next week.
I don't want to see no bitches fucked up pinky nail.
They won't be able to see pinky nail, be on him.
That's the reason to take a break.
No, she was going to send a picture of the guy that was walking
yes.
by her.
Yes.
Oh, hey.
Oh.
Okay, so let me ask you guys this. Going back to relationships, because I'm on a relationship whirlwind today.
Okay.
Do you guys think it's smart to rekindle a relationship with an ex? I mean, do you think that the same problems might resurface, or people change? So, anybody?
I say no. I say usually when you break up for a reason. And when you rekindle, it's because you forgot what those reasons were. And so I would say no. I wouldn't go. I would not go back to someone I broke up with. Because there's a reason I broke up with them. And unless they change majorly, nah. I think you should always move forward in life. Don't move backwards.
Well, this is Angelique. I don't say rekindle a relationship. But, I mean, unless you guys want the benefits, then yeah, benefits all day long. Relationship, no.
It's a different name for that. That's not rekindling.
Right. You know, I didn't want to say it, but.
I'm telling you, it's 50 Shades of Angelique. She's a freak. Y'all just know. I'm putting your ass on blast right now. Well, Miss Karen, would you rekindle a relationship with an ex?
Absolutely not. I always find it when it ended for a reason. And usually, I just feel like people don't change, and people don't change that drastically. So it would have to be, I've heard of people getting back together and it working out, but usually those instances were like 10 years later. You know, where people really had the time to change. I just always feel like if it ended for a reason, and you need to kind of accept that it ain't gonna happen. Like it really takes major, major things in your life to change a person. So unless something major happened in their life, talking like death, talking, you know, a different, like a man gets a major job, his life, he goes from poverty to rich. I mean, it's like something drastic has to change a person's outlook on life. And they're not going to be any different.
Okay. Well, what if it's somebody like a high school sweetheart?
I've been down that road. It was a high school sweetheart. And trust me, we went back like 3 times, and it was the worst thing I could have ever done.
First,
it was bad, horrible, and worser. The worstest. If there's anything,
the worstest.
Even a freaking word. I'm gonna make up a word just to describe that.
I see.
I wouldn't go back to anything that was the worstest either.
What if it was something that just ended well? Like, I'm just gonna go ahead and put my dirty laundry out there. But let's just, you know, say that I might or might not have had a high school sweetheart who was just absolutely perfect for me, and I was for him, and our families got along really, 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 really well. And let's just say that, you know, I ended up meeting someone else, he met someone else, and years later, you know, we still talk. We get along really, really great and everything else. Had it not been for the fact that, you know, I met someone else and got married, there probably would have been something there. And it wasn't that we ended because, you know, our relationship was bad or we were doing bad or, you know, anything like that. It ended basically because of schooling, you know. One went off to university, you know, had to do their own thing, blah, 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 blah. So, you know, in those instances where nothing wrong was really with the relationship, just, you know, you kind of just go back after all those years.
Right. But this is my thought. This is what I think. This is where I go. I think women, and I'll pick on women right now. I'm going to kind of probably piss some of you off. But I think women, we get too stuck in the what-if zone and the coulda, shoulda, woulda.
Yeah.
And we're so nostalgic, and we think, oh, it coulda, shoulda, woulda. But I look at it this way. When you met your husband, it coulda, it shoulda, and it did. It was like you went from A, B to Z. You got married. Like, whatever the journey was, it was a journey to take you to marriage and commitment, and I love you. And you're the one for me, and I'm the one for you. Where this guy, yeah, you might have had moments and you might have had time, but I know people who get separated by distance, get separated by circumstance, and they still figure it out. And they feel like if the love is greater than anything, they figure out a way to stay in love and connected, and they don't allow anything to come between that love. So that's why I always say women, I always tell women, we get stuck in the coulda, shoulda, wouldas. And it's not that, if that situation was really meant to be, it would have been.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I just always go back to, like, the theory of, you know, a man meets a woman, and when a man really wants a woman, he will make her his wife. Period.
Yeah.
There's no, like, kind of half step. Because I bet when your husband met you and he fell in love with you, he was like, you're going to be my wife. Boom. I got you.
Yeah.
You know?
It was
They're
actually
territorial
a little
in that way.
Yeah, no, I agree. Hey, Karen, have you seen my kitty?
Have I seen your what?
My kitty.
I hope not.
I said my kitty. I was like, I don't want to see your kitty, Daisy.
No, because there's a kitty on the line.
Hey.
Hello.
Hey.
Why you gotta rat me out? I'm just trying to creep on the line and hear some chicken.
Oh, what?
Well, we don't want you creeping.
You Katrina.
But I'm a creeper. That's what I do. I know. I'm telling you.
Well,
I think I'm the territorial one in my relationship because I can tie it down, lock it up, and own it.
There you go.
What are you talking about, Katrina? Katrina's territorial with her friends, too. Like, I'm not allowed to have certain friends because she just likes them.
True. I get jealous. I get mad. I'm not usually like that. Like, you know, most girls are like, oh, I'm your only best friend. I'm the one and only blah, blah, blah. No, I'm not the one and only best friend. That's fine. I'll share Daisy with her husband and with all of her other friends. But she's got these two twins that got to go.
What's wrong with them, Katrina?
Well, you know, they just butt in, and they think because they were there first on the scene that they're number one. And let me tell you, they done been replaced. They're like number 8 and 9 now on the rotation, and they just need to respect my authority.
Daisy, how does it feel when you try to blend two friendships and they don't quite blend? Like, it's like oil and water.
Oh, my God. Well, luckily, you know, I tend to keep them separate pretty well, but Kitty's just so possessive. She's like, fuck them. Don't invite them. I don't want them here. You're mine. And I'm like, oh, my God. It's like having a jealous boyfriend, and I'm not getting lucky.
It is because it is. I'll tell you where it all stems from. It stems from, well, like I said, I'm jealous of them because they've been around longer, quite frankly. But also, it stems back to when Davey was getting married and I was going to be, you know, the maid of honor, but I was flying all over the world and I was so damn busy. I missed all the meetings. I missed all the important stuff. And she's like, dude, what can I do? So she replaced me with one of these twins. And I'm like, okay. Yeah, I got my whole title just taken away.
And wait. Let's clear the air.
I was okay with that. What I was not okay with was that I get to throw the bachelorette party. Everybody knows I do parties. That is what I do best.
That's
so, fine. I throw a kick-ass bachelorette party, obviously. And these twins, in my never-to-be-humble opinion, fucking ruin it. They show up.
What?
Yes,
what they do, lock the strippers out?
No, Daisy doesn't really realize that this is what happened, but this is what happened, and I'm still holding
it. Grudge. Tell it, Katrina, tell it.
Yeah, they show up with these shitty little, like, the miniature bottles like you get of alcohol at the airport, like on the airplane, you know, those minis. But they bring the crappiest ones that are, like, 25 cents each because they can't sell them. So they bring these $4 for $1 little airport miniatures, and they're like, do a shot, Daisy, do a shot. I'm like, no, don't do a shot. I have bottles lined up in a limo. Don't do a shot of that bullshit. We got real stuff coming. Don't do it. Of course, Daisy's nice, and she does it, and then she does another one, and then she does another one. And they're blending this weird, cheap crap, like they're blending Smirnoff, watermelon, and grape with Bailey's, with Jaeger. I'm like, you people are cool. So by the time we get up in the limo, Daisy spends the entire time of her bachelorette party blacked out in the bathroom, and I'm holding her hair.
Wow.
Where were the twins? They did it, and they didn't listen to me. I know how to party, and they should have listened, and I'm still mad. And
I need to know this. Where were the twins? Did they hold her hair at all?
No.
One of them did.
What?
Whatever. They suck.
How do you feel about that, Daisy?
Okay, so what had happened was, no, Big Bitch, okay, you got to realize that Katrina's very territorial. She literally peed on my leg and claimed me for everybody.
You're my soul. That's it.
She done sprayed me good, and I'm hers for life, and that's
it.
I have these two twin friends who I've been really good friends with since I was, like, 12. And, you know, I met Katrina about 4 years later. And I was always with them, so Katrina was very possessive about that. But Katrina was my maid of honor. I had chosen her. I had picked her. But at the time, she was not in town. She was crying everywhere. I was having trouble, you know, trying to get her to do food tasting, the cake tasting, getting the flowers, doing all the maid of honor crap. So I asked her. I said, listen, Joanna, which is one of the twins, I said, she's done this before. I'm going to put her name out. Well, they're my only twin friends. So, you know, anybody that listens to the show is going to tell them anyways. Yeah, they're already going to know anyways, so it's okay. It's
they can call in for their opinion.
All right, get their side of the story.
Right.
So, and the thing is that they are my friends. I've known them for years. Like, I love them dearly. And so I asked that. I said, are you okay with this? Because you're not going to be here if she, you know, can be my maid of honor in your place or whatever. And she goes, you know what? I'm not here enough in order for me to help you, so yes, go ahead and do it. I know she was hurt, and we've already talked about this, but apparently we're throwing dirty laundry out, so.
No, I'm not done. There's
more.
Oh, good
Lord.
There's more.
So then, what happened was,
I was
a rhetoric major in college, a speech major. We get to speech time during the wedding, and the twin pops up and gives the worst, shittiest speech I've ever heard in my life. It was along the lines of paraphrase.
Daisy, keep it real. How was the speech?
Shitty.
No, I mean, it was
there
very...
Daisy,
don't be nice. Don't be sugarcoating. How was the speech, good or bad?
It wasn't
good
great, but it wasn't bad.
Okay, but
no,
it was what it was. I still remember.
It was
mediocre.
It was
mediocre.
Yeah,
okay.
But it was, well, what can I say? Everybody lift your glasses. Congratulations, Dave.
That was the entire speech.
Wow.
That's horrible.
That was it? That was That was bullshit.
Oh, my.
Exactly.
She didn't even prepare.
Thank you. Exactly. Now, I was there when they met. So I had a whole thing that just flew right off. It's on the wedding video, and it's brilliant. Because, like I said, that's what I went to school for. So, just all I'm saying is maybe you don't need one maid of honor that sucks. Maybe you need two maids of honors and give them duties that they're both good at. Let me give the speech. Let me do the party. Let some other chick do the rest.
Well,
when I get married again, we can talk about that.
Oh, my.
Ooh. But,
Jill, you're kind of unbiased because, you know Daisy, you know Katrina. What are your thoughts about that kind of situation?
I think that if I was Katrina, I would be hurt if that was stripped from me, that title was stripped from me. I would be hurt. And
well, but it wasn't her fault. It really was not her fault at all. I was out of the country 29 days a month. It wasn't her fault. That part doesn't hurt my feelings because she gave it to me first, and she talked to me woman to woman. She did the classy thing, and she says, is this
right.
Something you can actually do? So that part doesn't bother me. I just still dislike the twins.
Okay. Because I was going to say, it's almost one of those situations where if you were gone 29 days out of the month, it's almost like you don't really have room to kind of be mad about that.
I know I don't, but
yeah.
I could still dislike
okay.
them.
But wait. You know what this bitch did subliminally, I think, but she felt like shit afterwards. But one of the so-called twins that
listen, you let me talk, bitch. You let me talk.
Let her talk, Katrina. Let's hear that
accident.
Okay.
So my friend, the other twin, okay, she recently got married, and Katrina was my date to the wedding. Everything was grand. We were dancing. Katrina was getting my parents hammered. She was getting me hammered. She was hammered. It was great. It was a free open bar. You know, we were having a great old time. We decided to go dancing. Katrina, all of a sudden, she's very, very tipsy and goes, oh, let's go dance with the bride. She's right there. And we're like, okay. So we start dancing. This bitch has red wine in her hand. She spilled it all over the front of her dress.
No.
No. Katrina.
Bible.
Tell the truth.
Did you do it on purpose?
Was that on purpose?
Did you get into a fight after that?
Listen. She didn't do it on purpose.
I don't love the twins, okay? But I would never, ever, ever, ever sabotage somebody's special date. I promise on everything that was an accident. I promise that was an accident. Thank God it was at the end of the wedding. And the only reason I was drinking red wine is because they were out of everything else. That was the worst thing. I'm still horrified. But the bride did handle it with grace and said, don't even worry about it. I begged to get it cleaned, and she said it was no problem and that it came out. But I do feel absolutely awful because, like, even my worst enemy, I would never do that to. That's just low. I mean, I would never, ever mess with somebody on their special day. Ever. You know, I was there to support. I don't love them. I'm still jealous that they've been friends longer. Whatever. The jealousy is fading. To be honest, the jealousy is fading because I know she loves me more, so that's okay. But I acted, and then I had to, like, check myself, and I was like, listen, bitch, are you a hideous person, and did you just do that, like, subliminally? Did you just actually do that? Because that's what's going on, and you're
convoluted little brain, but I actually think it was an accident because I really don't dislike them enough to ever try and do something bad.
Yeah, it was horrifying. Horrifying. She sat down the rest of the night and didn't move. She was so embarrassed.
What I want to know is how bad the twins are about Katrina to you afterwards. Because I know she, you know, said something to you about Katrina after the wedding.
Who, my friend?
Yes.
Yeah, the bride. What did the bride say to you about my spilling all over her after?
You know what was funny is that she even told me, she goes, my mom took it to the dry cleaner. She's like, they got it out. She's like, I didn't care. She's like, it was just, she spent almost nothing on the dress, so she didn't care. The dress was, like, really, really cheap. She didn't spend, like, you know, $6,000-$7,000. So she honestly didn't care. It was her friends who said something after. And they were the ones that are like, oh, my God, I can't believe that happened. And I put their asses in check because I said, you know what? Fucking accidents happen. I was like, it'll be an accident when I run over your foot if you keep on talking shit.
Yeah.
I'm talking about.
I will cut a bit if they hurt any of my friends.
So this is my thought. So, this is what I'm thinking. Do those twins talk bad about Katrina ever?
No, not at all. No, they're nice girls. They're very nice girls. They're classy women.
You're the mean one.
They're classy women. They didn't mean to sabotage her bachelorette party. They're just not as good at partying as me.
Right,
that's true.
Okay.
They didn't mean to give a shitty speech. They're just not as good at speaking as me.
Katrina, right. How could you not like such nice girls? They don't talk about you. They're not. She spilled wine on her dress. She's okay about it. Like, you gotta like them.
I know, and that just makes it worse.
It's that jealousy that's creeping in.
I mean, but if I have perfectly nice friends and perfectly nice girlfriends, and you try to mix the girlfriends together and they don't like each other, and you're like, what the heck? How is it that we get along and you're cool and I know you're cool? How do y'all not like each other? And there's no rhyme or reason as to why they don't like each other. And it usually comes down to they just don't like the fact that they mean something to you as well. Like, it's kind of that little competition of who loves who more.
Yeah.
But
have you guys ever dated
I'm only that way. I'm only that way with Davey.
I hope so.
Yeah, I don't know why, but
I love
it.
I will say this, Katrina. Davey and I have gotten so close ever since you've been in China. I mean, we talk every day, and we're so close now. I mean, I threw her birthday party while you were gone. I mean,
but you know what? But that's okay because I love both of you, so that's fine. And you know what,
Karen?
I love Angelique, and I have no problem sharing Leaky love because I love her.
Oh, that's true.
I know. I'm okay because I know everybody's on point. Then that's fine.
Hey. Damn it! I was trying to get you. I was trying to get you riled up,
Karen. Sleep with a freaking knife in your hand because this bitch will come back to cut you.
Very true, very true.
Listen, I'm not trying to sabotage my power ranger connection.
We only
anything.
Talk every other day, not every day.
Okay.
I take it back.
No, but you know what? Like, I love Katrina. Like, she is my number one. She knows it. But my twins are also my friends. They're very, very sweet. I hold, like, my friends to a very, very, like, high degree. Like, I only surround myself with people that are positive and who, you know, inspire me. So with Katrina, it speaks highly of her because I'm always with her. And it's hard because she's in Vegas. I'm in L.A. And we tried to at least, you know, get together at least once a month, if not more.
I will say that being an outsider looking in and seeing your friendship, I totally get it. Like, I see what she brings to your life. I see what you bring to her life. And I get it. Like, I get the bond. I get the closeness. And it's a beautiful thing to see women, you know, two women that are, you know, you guys are in two different places in your life, but you're so loving of each other, which is great. You know, and she's always talked about you. So to finally get to know you and work with you, and so it's, like, really cool, you know. I will say that.
Yeah, yeah, I only keep good people in my life. No twins.
Yep.
No twins. No twins. Say no to twins, people. If you learn anything
else,
I hope
on they
show,
call in.
Oh, my
goodness.
If you learn nothing else, say no to twins. They'll get you every time.
Well, and they don't even know that this is how I felt. So if you're a twin,
they now
then you're listening. Sorry.
Yeah.
It'll be
my jealousy. Like, you even said, like, they're classy women. They're perfectly nice. And just your jealousy. That's what's so funny.
I know. And they're great. It's just that they're just not my cup of tea.
Wow.
Wow.
And that's the funny part. Because I kept telling Katrina, I'm like, but they're so nice. How can you not like them? She's like, I fucking hate them. So I was just like, okay then.
And,
you know, there's no reason. It's my own issue, and I own that, but I can't explain it. It's fading a little, but it's still there. Well, all I'm saying is to everybody that you should love all your friends and not pick and choose and hate on your other friends' friends.
Is that a direct statement to Katrina?
I'll say this. Other than the wine incident, I've always been perfectly behaved around them, and that was an accident, I promise.
This is such a girl thing. I don't think dudes go through this where they kind of, like, battle for attention with friends.
Not at
like,
all.
I
but
don't
all,
know.
Not at
all.
But all my girlfriends want to be number
they
one.
Don't care.
All of them.
Oh, I've seen some of your other friends, Katrina, who, yeah, they do battle for your attention.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Lisa's seen it. Daisy's seen it.
Yeah, they've seen it.
But wait, you know what's funny? Is that all of her other friends always battle, and I don't care.
Right.
Oh,
yeah,
no.
To
her.
So, Daisy, you're saying that you're the mature one.
Yep.
You know what? I wouldn't say I'm mature. I've never been the jealous type, not even in relationships.
I'll
so
say this. She's a secure one. She's a secure one. She's the one who has the most confidence.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll take that.
That's true.
Because all the other girls, for some reason, they have, like, their confidence is a little low. So they have all these kind of, like, side issues.
Yeah, they just step up their cookies.
I feel like I'm talking about a married couple.
Well, I don't know. Well, ladies, well, I don't know what to tell you. We talked about relationships. We talked about no to exes. Don't rekindle that relationship. Be careful with Katrina because she will catch you if you get near me.
That, yep. Mm-hmm.
Don't wear white around her and white
nope.
Red wine because it'll be disastrous.
Yep.
I don't know. What did you guys learn from today?
This is me tripping.
Well, you know. So, Miss Karen.
Is the kitty.
Hello. Is she gone?
Hello?
She done left us.
She got scared. She got scared because she's getting close
She'll
to
be
you.
She'll be back momentarily.
Is that Jeffrey?
Yeah.
No, it's not me.
Mama.
Oh, she's back. I think she got a phone call from those twins.
The twins can be found on Davey's Facebook page.
That is correct.
And
if this is such a hot topic, you guys can message Katrina, and what we could do is actually have a conversation. Maybe we can have him on the show. Maybe
oh, gosh.
I'm going to be sick that day.
The Battle of the Friends.
I'm going to be sick that day.
I think that you should give them a test and figure out really which one knows you the best, and that way you'll know which ones are really your friends.
Ooh!
Right.
Yes.
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 Jill, you've done
I'm
going to
win that all day, every day. Yes.
Every day, every day.
I'm down to play any game that I'm going to win. That's why I never play just the chip, because I always lose.
Oh, my God. We got to go, you guys. It was a great show. Thank you, Jill, Karen, Katrina, and Natalie.
Yep.
Good night, guys. Have a
good night.
Good night.
Dangers.
Don't be talking about me, Kitty. I know you.